Stop, drop, and listen. I'm Magda, and you've just arrived at your final destination. If it's raw, real, and unedited, I like it. Live, from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is everything you've never expected. I'm going to sign my name across the airwaves by daring to be different. Muchos arigatos. Thank you, Emily, for coming on. Emily is the founder of the Miami Women Who Rocks movement here in Miami. And could you first tell the subscribers of my podcast, Emily, how we met?
We met through Miami Women Who Rock, and certainly through connections that we both know working out and in the health and fitness area. A very good soul that's close to both of us.
Yeah, I love that lady. I do. Thank you, Soraya Wilson at yes. Soul Cycle, for making this connection happen. If you ever want to spin in Coral Gables or Miami Beach, look for Raw Baby. What is it? Raw Baby Sugar?
Yes.
Raw Baby Sugar on Instagram. So, Emily, I'm super excited because on top of what you're doing for the community with Miami Women Who Rocks and helping put a big dent in cancer and awareness and just doing wonderful things for the community, it's fascinating what you do for a living.
Yes.
Emily, in the process of doing wonderful things for the community, I learned does this wonderful niche. I guess it's like a love service. And, you know, everything is love. That's why we go to church. That's why we pray. That's why we cry is love. And the more love we get, the better off we are. And if you believe in the universe, and I am 100% a believer of the universe, you're going to find what Emily does for a living as fascinating as well. So tell me, what is it that you do for a living? What is your job title?
Okay, so I'm an astrological coach. I am writing a book that's coming out next year. But as Miami Women Who Rock, what we do is focus on health and wellness, but spiritually, emotionally, financially, and energetically. And that's where this comes into play. So I've been doing Pink Moon Abundance networking and working with individuals doing astrological coaching. So based on their astrological chart, what are the things that they want to accomplish? What do they want to attract, and how to do that?
You said astrological coach. So if I say, hi, Emily, I'm a Leo. Do you coach me?
No.
Tell me what you do.
Okay. So the first thing we do is take a look at your natal chart. So we typically ask for a birth time and place to pull up the chart. And what I've noticed is that sometimes I, for example, started studying astrology 20 years ago when I was going through a divorce and my son was a year old. And I was so amazing in business and made so much money. But when it came to love, felt rather unlucky.
Right.
And so what I wanted to do was really take a look at the energy and the language of the energy in love. And started studying it, and here 20 years later do this astrological coaching, which I find absolutely fascinating as another tool in your toolbox.
Yeah, it's a great predictor. I mean, I think that there are people that listen to you and might shape and mold their lives around what you say, which would not be very wise, but to use it as a tool, like what you just said, to help find maybe better answers for themselves in their own journey. And I am very excited, really. And this is the first time I've ever experienced anything like this. And I'm very excited. I was born in Elizabeth, New Jersey, at a time that I do not wish to share on this show. But I did tell Emily, because she says that is a prerequisite. Why is the time so important?
Well, a natal chart is what it is. And the example that I like to use is it is your fingerprint, your unique individual snapshot of where the energy was the moment that you were born, the second that you were born. So it's all about energy. And I like to compare it to Magda's condominium that we're going to enter today.
Okay.
And there are 12 floors, which show the 12 houses.
Okay.
And each floor has different tenants, which are the signs, which tell us about how the energy is taking place. And then the planets, which there are 10 we're going to focus in on, tell us a little bit about the timing when certain things happen.
Okay.
So Saturn and, you know, Mercury and Venus, all mm-hmm. those things have certain, they move around astrologically a certain amount of time. So we take a look at timing.
So, okay, my birthday is very close, and the moon is, the new moon is also very close. And the new moon, you say, is Leo. So my sign is Leo. And how is that coinciding so instrumental, so magical?
Well, you are on fire.
I'm always on fire.
You're always on fire, but you're particularly on fire. And what a great time to ignite whatever you have in terms of wishes, dreams, and hopes.
I have so many wishes.
Well, you have the energy to make it all happen.
Oh,
there's
good.
No doubt there's a lot of power here in this chart.
Tell me. So we're going to do part one, part two of this reading. And reason being is that Emily says that it is just so interesting and she wants a full-blown attention. And I'm going to give her 100% attention. So we'll have a part one, part two. On my podcast, there's only been one other time I did a part one, part two. And that was with my love. So Emily, you're very important. We're doing a part one, part two for the second time on my podcast. So
I am honored.
Part one will cover what?
We're going to talk about part one, some of the key planets, personal planets, and a little bit of career, life, and love. So I think most people come for a reading when either they're experiencing a challenge or they're experiencing a growth opportunity and say, I don't know what's going on, or you know, I don't know why I can't make this happen. So it talks a lot about timing. So the fact that this is a new moon, that you're coming up on your birthday week.
Oh, my God.
And that there's a solar eclipse, a second new moon, which rarely happens in Leo next month. That's a solar eclipse. So this new moon has energy window for you that is huge. And it basically has a shelf life of more than just a month. It's actually a few years.
Oh, good. I need a few years to get it all together.
So let's start. What typically we do is most astrologers, for example, go through a reading and go through each of the houses, tell you what your placements are. I like to work it a little bit different. And the reason for that is because there's so much new language that it gets introduced. And a lot of people maybe get away one answer or two from a reading. And then, you know, you also hear what you want to hear.
Of course.
So what I want to do is really focus in on some of the key things in those first few houses, which are all about you, and then touch on some of the energy that's available in career, in love, and some of the things that I see that jump at me,
okay,
which are really great. So let's get started.
Okay.
Okay. So the first thing, just overall perspective. So you are a Leo sun, which is amazing. Your birthday is coming up. But in your Libra moon. So I take a look at the sun sign and the moon sign and how those two play out. So one is fire and one is air. So, and that tends to carry throughout your whole chart. There's some really great fiery aspects. And like I said, the different floors of the condominium. So the first few floors are really all about the personal identity. So right in the first house, when I look at your chart, you have Saturn in Gemini. Now, Saturn in Gemini means that you come into this world and you are your own toughest critic. You can be structured, you can have all the energy, you know, but nobody has to push you because you will push yourself. And the fact that you have that in the sign Gemini is the natural communicator and communications. Now, the first house always also aspects the seventh house, which is that house of marriage, relationships, face-to-face relationships. So in that first house, right off the bat, the ascendant sign is Gemini. And that what that tends to say is, as we grow older, we become much more our ascending sign, which is the problem with horoscopes, because there's no way that there's one energy that describes everyone in a particular month. You know, horoscopes actually give astrology a little bit of a bad name.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, people think like, okay, that's, you know, well, you as a Leo may be a very different type of Leo than to other Leos that you know. And that tends to be with all the astrological signs. So you have Saturn in the first house and you have Gemini ascendant. What Gemini ascendant is, well, it's an air sign, but it's also ruled by Mercury. So you're thinking, you know, everyone talks about Mercury retrograde. And I don't know how you respond or when, if you, have you ever heard of Mercury
yes.
retrograde? And, you, and generally, how does it go for you during those?
I hear it. I hear it's Mercury retrograde. Now it's the time for everything to be stirred up. I hear things like that. But in all honesty, Emily, in my life, everything is always stirred up. It's every day Mercury retrograde in my life. So I don't really, I do give it credit, the whole universe working in conspiracy to help me 100%. But the retrograde part, that's every day.
Okay. So basically, you have a great attitude, and that's the whole, that's what you have to do with all these signs. I do this exercise that's how to manifest with your moon and master your moon in 30 days. And what it has to do with is learning how, where the moon is up in the sky and how it plays out in your chart. So the only thing about Mercury retrograde is that because it is in the first house, and your first house is your identity, mm-hmm. it's your soul, it's who, you know, you come into this world to be, your purpose, and so forth. So the first house tells us a lot about the self-image, which, you know, you, I think, have a very positive self-image.
Too positive. Too healthy.
But it is the identity. So let's move on to the second house. The second house is financial affairs, values. Now, this is typically the Taurus house in the natural chart. So there's a natural chart of natural placements of the planets. So they tell you an underlying subject or energy that's taking place in that. However, in your chart, your natal chart, you have the sign Gemini, and you also have what they call an intercepted house, which means you have two signs that that affect the energy in that house. You don't have any planets. There are only 10 planets and 12 houses. Mm-hmm. So there will always be some houses that don't have planets. And this one doesn't. Hmm. What that does mean, though, is you take a look at the opposite side. You always look at the opposing sign. And, you know, and there you have Sagittarius, and you have certainly the ability to get support, get clients, and to enlist support in all that you do financially and so forth. Hmm. But It does create a lot of self-starter energy. Mm-hmm. I have the same thing, and
mm-hmm. interesting.
I'm like you know, certainly curious about it. But you know that in that house, you know, the second house, the third house is the house of siblings. Now, you have two signs that are in the third house, and the third house you have Cancer, and you have you start to have Leo. Again, you have two signs in that house. And this is, you know, naturally the Gemini house. So you take a look at communication. And at the bottom of the chart tends to be the true self, this true self to soul. So when you look at the sign, you look at the charts, you look at four points. You look at the ascending, which is Gemini. It's an air sign. And then you look at the cusp of the bottom chart. Mm-hmm. And that tells you who you are at home. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Mm. Who you are at home is Leo.
Oh, wow.
You know, you have such a strong Leo personality, energy aspects. Your fourth house is loaded with Leo. and you know, so when you think about who you are at home, that's, you know, it's wonderful because it's synergistic. And it's something that you have your point of fortune. So point of fortune is when someone has it at that location, that probably means that your home is your universe, your center, your core, just like in working out, you know, your mm-hmm. core. So you're very identified in your core. You know what you like. You know what you don't like.
I'm a whore for the core. No, I really am. I love my core. I need to come back to center.
That's a really strong placement. When you have whatever sign you have in that natural Cancer house, it's your home. It is your core. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, forget to take a look at that. You know, the sign. Let's talk a little bit about Leo, because Leo is the I will. Mm-hmm. They're the key phrase. But what, you know, what are the things that Leo, the reason why, you know, people tend to love Leos. And mm-hmm. I can say that as a general statement, because there's certain signs that evoke emotions, and I hear them all the time. But you know, a Leo, certainly when it comes to business, they're the big idea, fire personality, you know, be it projects, leadership, you know, romance, creativity. Mm. I mean, you know, Leos are like the whole symbol in astrology of the lion. Couldn't be more accurate. because, you see a Leo in a room and you know.
100%. I mean, they take up the whole room. It doesn't matter how short they are either. I mean, Napoleon was a famous Leo.
It's funny. I was looking up, the Duchess, and there's so many royalty that are Leo
Lucille Ball. Madonna.
Leo Sun, that creative, that artistic. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything, I mean, there are a couple things that I was so excited, especially when you told me don't tell you anything before this.
That I didn't dwell because I like to record organically the reaction. So please proceed.
All right. So that Sun Leo, that it's fixed fire. You have that in the fourth, and it carries out into the fifth. Now, fifth is the house of children, the house of creativity, your firstborn, and here you have Virgo. Hmm. Virgo, and you have Libra. Now, what I find absolutely interesting, we're going to talk about it in the next segment, is where your moon is. Because your moon has a lot to do with not only your mother, but how you love and emotional, and you have it in Libra. Now, Libra is that sign of beauty. It's the natural ruler of the seventh house in marriage.
Hmm. Wow.
Libra, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, again, a lot of people don't understand that or don't realize that Libra is an air sign.
Mm.
When you think of the scales and you think of all the things that Libra can rule. And it was pretty interesting as I took a look at your chart. I wanted to read something to you that I thought, you know, some of this is amazing because part of it is textbook. And, you know, it's important to take a look at, like, what the books say about these aspects. But the other part of it is really fascinating because it all gets affected by the other signs. So here's what I put together for you on a moon in Libra. So you see life as means of self-discovery through trial and error. Yeah, you seek shared experiences at every opportunity, and you have an easy, charming, gracious, and interpersonal for humanity. And I mean, to know you is to love you.
Thank you, Emily.
I saw that and I thought, oh wow, that seems very, very magnet in the short time that I've known you. I mean, that's something that, you know, you don't have trouble getting it done, you know, and you have with a chart like this, I would say there's an overall, like, you could be a spokesperson for Nike because just do it.
I should have that role for Nike because I went to Greece and I saw the original swoosh in stone. And I remember out of everything I saw in Greece, that just do it sign just stuck with me. I actually took a photograph of it because if you don't just do it and you don't, then you're not really Yoda. And I really am Yoda. I have a little Yoda on my desk. I don't think, I just do it. Because if you think, then you might stop. And if you don't execute, then you might not ever know. So that's an interesting thing that you just said.
That's amazing. And the energy, I mean, you know, when I take a look at someone's chart, it's like I take a look and I most cases I know them somewhat or a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that comes out, especially in a reading, because that's why it's important. I mean, a little bit of knowledge could be dangerous. So there's certainly apps that you could go and run your chart. And, you know, the only thing I would say to that is that, you know, I mean, it took me 20 years to get this experience. It's not easily, and there's danger in that.
There is no computer. There is no podcast. There is no machine that can replace or interfere with human intuition, with human perception, and with human contact. So yes, you can do all the app stuff you want. I'm a life coach. You can find a life coach on an app. The truth is I wish you the best of luck. I wish you the best of luck. Computers and books, fantastic information source. I appreciate it 100%. But a human, you can't ever replace that. So please, I need your reading, not the one of the machine.
That's right. And so taking a look at your signs, there's a really beautiful balance that I think your chart has, and you have four of your four in air signs, two in fire, two in water, and two in earth, which is nice balance. I mean, sometimes you can take a look at a chart and you'll just see either everything fire or everything, you know, air, or you don't see a little bit of that. And being able to use the right energy in the right situations is super important. So, but the placement of where you have the air and the fire is super interesting. So,
oh, great. I can't wait to find out.
We're going to be talking about love and all the things in the next segment and getting into that.
Let's save love for the second segment.
We will do that.
I'm most excited.
I know. I'm super excited.
I'm in love with love, you know.
Well, of course, you're in love with love.
Oh, good. Does my chart say that?
You're in love with love and you have no problem attracting it.
I have so much love. I don't know what to do with this love.
You have in your seventh house of relationships, you have Sagittarius.
I married one of those. I married a Sagittarius.
Well, you know, you tend to see some of those patterns. For example, I mean, I won't even say which marriage. The first marriage is the seventh house. The second marriage, it skips houses, is the ninth, and every other house thereafter. So the second time you're married, you take a look at the ninth house in your chart to see their energy. But the first marriage, Sagittarius, was the energy that
couldn't be more true to form. I married one of those, my first marriage. And I don't know about the second marriage. Are you going to tell me about my second marriage? I can't wait to find out.
I'm going to tell you that you have very different energy in the ninth that starts to take place, you know, Capricorn. So actually what you start to get attracted to, and this is really the interesting thing on the energy front, is in your ninth, the ninth house is the natural house for Sagittarius. So there'll be some element of you wanting that fire or being attracted to it. Because the attracting principle is always like where you get the clues. And, you know, I have some women say to me, oh, like, why every time I date someone, you know, I have Gemini in the seventh house. And I can tell you 9 out of 10 times, I mean, I'm dating online and, you know, it'll be a Gemini, you know. And so, and I've tried to really, you know, maybe, you know, steer away from that or whatever. So you have Sagittarius in the seventh house. So there's always an element of a fire sign that you might be attracted to. Hmm. Now, the type of Sagittarius or the type of any other sign, like I said, it's not just the sun sign, but, you know, we're going to talk about in the next segment how to look at a man's moon.
Okay, I need that. So in this segment, do we have anything else to go over? I think we should save the whole second one for love, because that's a big topic in my life, Em.
Yeah, we'll save the second one for love. So we're going to talk about in the next one, your Venus. And in this last one, to talk about business, a couple things that I want to say about business, because at the top of your chart, which is, you know, so we said at the bottom, you in the bottom of the fourth house cusp is the true self to soul, who you are at home. Where Libra stands is who you are in relationships. And that's where you have your moon. But where you are in business, at the top of your midheaven, who you are to the world is Aquarius. Now, that's super fascinating, because with an Aquarius midheaven, it would show, and you have Mars sitting up there, is that you're, again, just do it. Go get her. You know, there's no doubt about what you want to do, how you want to impact this world. You know, it's no surprise that, you know, when you think of humanitarian and health and wellness and fitness and what you did, you know, with the no smoking campaign, I mean, that's all Aquarius type of stuff. Good. The fact that you're even that you're open to this type of energy work, you know, very Aquarius midheaven stuff. Interestingly enough, on the career side, you have some really great opportunities, because this full moon that's coming up and also an eclipse is going to be happening in Aquarius. Wow. So right now, your career area is also on fire. Even though Aquarius is an air sign, there's a lot of aspects that are taking place in that area of your life.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited. I don't even want to go to sleep. I just want to watch.
You probably don't sleep much.
I sleep 7 hours every night regularly. But when I put my feet on the floor, it's run for life. Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah. Well, you're electric. I mean, there's no doubt that you have that personality. I write a forecast for this moon. And one of the key words that I said, you know, Leo, is magnetism. So, you know, right now you have the energy to be the magnet for whatever you want to attract in life and love and work and play.
Oh, good. That's good to know. I'm not sleeping anymore. So for the second segment, it's purely love. Is there anything left for this segment?
The only other thing that I want to say is Saturn rules business cycles, you know, and so I just wanted to point out that right now, Sagittarius, Saturn has been in Sagittarius, and it moves from Sagittarius to Capricorn on December 18th. So that always takes a look at business and business cycles. And when I see Saturn, I mean, it's on your first house, so it's always on you. Mm-hmm. But that's something that, you know, maybe affects clients or influx of clients, or because it is aspects your seventh house as well.
Okay. Okay, so I don't even know how to digest all of this information. I don't even.
Basically, it's just really, really good energy that's available for you for business,
good.
For life. I mean, you know, the Leo, when I said to you right at the beginning that you're on fire is, you know, the world's your oyster. I mean, anything that you could possibly want is at your fingertips.
I'm so glad you're saying this to me. Emily, I wake up like that. I think like that, and I believe what you just said with everything I am. And so I'm glad that I'm hearing this from another wonderful person, because some days I'm like, am I the only person that sees life like this? And it really is that it's so abundant.
It is abundant.
It really is.
It starts with the I believe, and you know, each sign has its mantra, but the Leo, I will. I mean, can you think about, you know, everything starts with I will, you know, because it doesn't say I think I can, I will. It's
I did.
right in the key words there, yeah. Tell you that, you know, that going into it with the raw, and, you know, that roar of the lion and mm-hmm. being able to say like, yeah, you got this.
Did you see the lions on the way in?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I knew I was at the right house.
Yeah, I just... The lion, a cat that can roar like that. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Okay, so in the next segment, do I find out who I marry next?
Well, we're going to talk about marriage for sure. We're going to talk about love. We're going to get deep.
I don't know if I'm ready for this. Emily, thank you so much. I'm going to go and solicit more clients tomorrow, and I'm just so excited. Okay, so part two is love. Thank you for coming on the show, and Miami Women Who Rocks has the best founder ever. I got him. I got my favorite sponsor. They're all my favorite sponsor, but this one's open for life. I'm so fresh, fresh to death. Here in the 305, there's a place called Hugo Fresh, where we drink mad juice. They've got the right medicina for you. It's where the vida is. Homegrown, local love, community members, and just downright outrageous. They're paddleboarders. They're yogis. They're very LA, very New York, and now they're my sponsors, with various locations throughout South Florida. www.hugofresh.com. They're open for life. Did you like me? Did you hate me? Tell me why. You can find me at www.atrev-t.com. That means to dare. I dare you to contact me. My phone number is 305-903-7160. I'm on Instagram, REVETE. I'm on Facebook, ATREVETE Inc. I'm incorporated. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. Contact me.